But if you would turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15, and I actually earlier this week I came across this study that I had started a few years ago, and for some reason I must have got sidetracked and never went back and finished the last part of it that I had intended to do. So I finished doing that study earlier this week and wanted to share that with you. But just by way of a short review, we started this looking at this passage in John chapter 15. I think it was a couple years ago, actually. And I just love this passage of Scripture. It really speaks to my own heart, thinking that the two kind of twin truths that are woven throughout this chapter are the idea of abiding and bearing fruit. And two subjects that really speak to my own heart, and as we go through, I trust will continue to do for you as well. So I want to start by reading verses 1 through 5, and then we'll pick up where we left off from the last time we looked at this chapter. So verses 1 through 5 of John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And so just to think about this, you can see all the way through this passage. We didn't even read the entire passage, but all the way through there's so many references to this thought of abiding and bearing fruit. And that word for abide, it means to continue, to dwell, to remain, to stand or tarry. And, of course, the idea is remaining in a close relation to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's really the thought here, because, you know, as we think about the picture that is given in this passage of Scripture, of course, is that thought of the vine and the branches. And you can almost picture the Lord Jesus having been in the upper room with his disciples, and how they left and went out to go toward the garden to pray, and probably on their way there, maybe they passed by a grapevine or something, or vineyard, and maybe that's what sort of he used that illustration as he taught this passage of Scripture. But just this whole idea of abiding, and the picture, of course, is the vine being the Lord Jesus Christ, the vine dresser, God the Father. And then, of course, the branches would be all of us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here's that thought of abiding, remaining close to, just like the branch has to be connected to the vine in order to bear fruit. And so that's what I want to continue our study on. We talked about verses 1 through 3 already in thinking about the fellowship that we need with Christ. Without that close fellowship, it's impossible for us to bear fruit as branches. So we talked about that. And then in verses 4 and 5, we talked about the need for the nourishment and the food that we get from the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ. And, of course, you can't have that unless we're connected with that fellowship with him. But then also that time that of spending in his word and in prayer, close communion with him, drawing the nourishment that we need in order to bear fruit. So we talked about that aspect of it. And so what I'd like to talk about today, and this is where I must have got sidetracked. I don't know why I never went back and finished the part that I intended to actually get to. The part that was actually spoke to me was the idea of bearing fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, you know, when we look at our lives, we don't want to get to the end of our lives and wonder, did my life actually count for the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there fruit that would remain to bring him glory. And this whole idea of bearing fruit is so important. And it really speaks of a life with real purpose. And I'm so thankful to think of, you know, what we used to be outside of Christ. We didn't really have any purpose other than living for ourselves and doing what we wanted and living for the world and that sort of thing. But in Christ, there's so much more. We have such a wonderful purpose. And to think of the fruit that we can bear for his glory, not only in this life, that will have a difference in eternity as well. It's very encouraging to think of it that way. I came across this quote. It said, "The abiding relationship is natural to the branch and the vine, but it must be cultivated in the Christian life. It is not automatic. Abiding in Christ demands worship, meditation on God's word, prayer, sacrifice, and service. But what a joyful experience it is. Once you have begun to cultivate this deeper communion with Christ, you have no desire to return to the shallow life of the careless Christian." And there is so much reward and so much joy in being able to abide in him and to bear fruit for his glory. And so I want to read verses 6 through 8 as we think about this aspect of it now. Verses 6 through 8 says, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." And so, once again, this whole idea of bearing fruit, and when you stop and think about it with the vine, there's really no other purpose for that vine, for the branches, other than bearing fruit. And so that purpose for us to think about bearing fruit, in fact, in verse 2, he describes how the vine dresser deals with those branches to make them more fruitful. Why? Because that's their purpose. In verses 4 and 5, explains how the branches are totally dependent upon the vine to bear fruit. And that's because that's their purpose. And then in verses 6 through 8, he talks about the results of both the fruitless branch and the fruitful branch. Why does he talk about that? Because that's their purpose. And so as we look at this, I just want to challenge all of us to just examine ourselves with respect to this purpose. Is there fruit in my life as a believer? Is there that fruit? And so outside of the vine, we have no purpose. It's all of our purpose is bound up in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so thankful for that time we just really enjoyed in singing and praying and looking in the scripture to remind us of our wonderful Savior, the one who was on the who went to that cross, who left the glories and splendor of heaven to go to that cross and suffer and bleed and die, and rose again and seated at the right hand of the Father, and to reach out to sinners, to seek and to save sinners like us, and to give us a purpose, a real purpose in life, to save our souls and to redeem us. But if that was the only reason, then he might as well have just taken us right to heaven. But it's more than that. He gives us a purpose even for living now. And being connected to that vine, the Lord Jesus, we can have that life of purpose and bear fruit for his glory. You know, Solomon said, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." When you miss the purpose, that's what life is. It's just vanity. It's just there's no reason, there's no fulfillment in what we're doing if we're missing the mark, if we're missing the purpose for us. And you know, when we got saved, we not only received eternal life through Christ and have the security of our future in heaven, but right now. We can look at ourselves and examine ourselves as far as this fruit is concerned and bearing up that purpose for us. So am I bearing fruit? That's what I want us to think about. Now, perhaps you're thinking, is not the real question, am I abiding in Christ? And really, technically, that is the real question, is am I abiding in Christ? But how do you evaluate whether I am truly abiding in Christ? How do we know that? And he gives us the answer right here, because he says the one who is abiding in Christ will bear fruit. And you know, when we think about the whole idea of abiding and bearing fruit, he doesn't instruct us to bear fruit. He instructs us to abide. Our job is not to bear fruit. Our responsibility is to abide in the vine, to stay closely connected. And so we want to have that as a real emphasis, that the importance of being connected. But how do we know if we're being connected? How do we know we're not just going through the motions? Because there will be fruit, and that's what this is about. So we can look at our lives and bear to see if there is that presence of fruit. In verse 5, once again, he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So if I am abiding, there will be fruit in my life. And so that's what we want to look at. But we need to be careful, because I came across this verse in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 4. It talks about Israel bearing fruit, but God called that fruit wild grapes. And so we don't want to bear bad fruit. That's possible. We could have a life as bearing bad fruit. And so we want to be careful also as we look at our lives. We don't want to see artificial fruit. And of course, you know, we're all familiar with that bowl that could be sitting on the table of that wax fruit. You go up and it looks so delicious and you pick it up and it's artificial. It's not even real. It might look good. It might look real, but it's artificial. And we can make that mistake about fruit in our lives. Is we want to be careful that we use the scripture to define what that fruit is going to look like in our lives, not what we think. It'd be easy for us to assume what we see is biblical fruit, when in fact it may not be, at least of the things that are specifically mentioned in scripture about fruit. And that's what I want to look at. Another thing we want to be careful about, I believe, is success in ministry. I think so many times folks, we put undue pressure on ourselves in thinking that success in ministry is fruit. And we've got to be careful with that, because our job is not to produce the fruit. That's God's work. That's what he does. In fact, he talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 when the passage, the words left me that quick, but he talks about how God is the one who bears the fruit. Some sow and some water. But it's God who gives the increase. We don't give the increase. And so we want to be careful about this whole concept of success in ministry, as it were, because that's what God does. And he chooses to bless and to produce the success in ministry as he chooses to do. Our job is to simply abide, and we will bear the fruit that brings glory to him. And so we don't want to examine ourselves, but we want to be careful to examine ourselves to see what biblical fruit actually is. So let's look at these, first of all, thinking about the identity of fruitfulness. And so we want to see biblical fruit in our lives. So what are some of the things that the Bible talks about as being biblical fruit? First of all, I think that the Bible talks about fruit from sharing the gospel. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 13, he says, now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the Gentiles. And aren't we thankful that the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation? We can't save anyone. Only God can save a soul. But he's given us that responsibility of sharing the gospel. And I think that's a genuine fruit that we can see in our lives, is that sharing of the good news of the gospel. And so as I examine myself, I have to ask myself, do I see that as fruit in my life? Sharing the gospel. You know, I really believe that when we have found the greatest news that the world has ever heard and ever will hear, how can we keep that to ourselves? We can't. We want it. We have to tell other people this great news about the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to be ashamed of him. We don't want to be taken up with other less important things in our conversation. Sure, there's other things that we have to deal with and talk about with others, and it's not the only subject to bring up. But nonetheless, that should be a priority on our hearts, is bringing out the gospel as the Lord opens up doors, that fruit from sharing the gospel. There's also the fruit in holiness and obedience in Romans chapter 6 and verse 22. He says, but now having been set free from sin and having become slave to God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. You know, we're not going to arrive, as it were, in this lifetime. There's no doubt about that. While we're in the flesh, we're not going to be perfectly holy in a practical sense. Thankfully, our position in Christ, we have been made blameless and harmless children of God without rebuke in this present generation. Praise the Lord for that position that we have in Christ. But the more we grow, the more we're abiding in the vine, that we will grow in righteousness and holiness. And so as I examine myself, and as I'm fulfilling that purpose that he has for me as a branch, we should be able to look at our lives and see that there is growth in holiness and righteousness in our lives. And I believe that is a legitimate biblical fruit that we should be looking for. And then there's also the fruit of giving. In Romans 15:28, he says, therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed them to this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain. And of course, in that situation, Paul is talking about the gift, that financial gift that was given for the saints back in Jerusalem with the hard times that they were experiencing. And he was taking that, but he referred to that financial gift from them to those other believers as fruit. And what a privilege that we have, particularly, I believe, for us in the United States, compared to most other in most others in the world, we are rich. We might not feel like it in comparison, to most people in the United States, perhaps, or maybe we feel like we're in one category or another, but we are rich, brothers and sisters. We have a lot that we can give for the Lord's work. And to see that generosity, that we think about what Christ has done for us and what he has given to us, how can we not give to support others in times of crisis or in times of need or whatever the case may be? I remember when I was working as an examiner for the state, and a very, very meager income, and we were homeschooling our kids, and we were just really involved in all kinds of service in the assembly. And I remember, we were just living hand to mouth, and it was just so humbling sometimes when we would go out to the mailbox and there would be an envelope addressed to us with no return address, no note, no acknowledgement as to where it came from, but somebody just randomly, led of the Lord, I'm sure, to share financially with us. How humbling, how very humbling it was to be on the receiving end. But we can be on that giving end. What a blessing, to be able to give to support others in times of need. And that is an evidence of real fruit, doing that out of love to support others. And then there's the fruit of the Spirit in a Christ-like character, a passage that we're all familiar with in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 and 23, where he says that the fruit of the Spirit is, and as we go through these, I challenge us, you know, let's look at our lives and look for the presence of this fruit in our lives, because it's the fruit of the Spirit. And it is, as you go through these, you can see all these are characteristics of Christ. Christ demonstrated these perfectly. And as we abide in Him, it's only natural that these character qualities will come out in our lives as well. Maybe not perfectly, but we can be growing as believers in these. And so what is that fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against us there is no law. And you know, in the culture and the day in which we live, I believe the more that we reflect and show and bear the fruit of this Christ-likeness, the more we're going to stand out, because it is definitely not the natural way, and it is definitely not a characteristic of an unbeliever to show these things. What a privilege for us as branches to bear this kind of fruit, not for our glory, but to draw people's attention to Christ, the vine, the one who saved us, the one who changed us, the one who gave us His Spirit to produce that very fruit of Christ-likeness in our lives. And then there is also the fruit of good works and service in Colossians 1:10. He says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And once again, that there is that just being fruitful in good works, in our service for Him. You know, we can go through the motions of doing things and not be real fruit. But nonetheless, if we are truly abiding, then there will be that natural result of a desire to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I believe that when Christians are really abiding in the vine, if I'm really abiding in the vine, I'm not going to have to be even asked or begged to help do in the Lord's work. I'm going to want to do it. It's going to be a natural result. It'll be a desire. It'll be that fruit that will come from abiding in Him. And it'll be a joy to do it. It won't be like, oh no, I've got to be involved in this, or this afternoon, the believers here, this is the time of year that we always go out. There's a main road in Greensboro, Battleground Avenue, that gets a lot of traffic and a lot of businesses up and down that road. And once a year we go out there and we stand and silently, respectfully protest against abortion, and just hold signs up that are very tasteful and respectful, but still making a stand against abortion. And, you know, it's a joy to be able to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a joy to do even a little work like that, to take that kind of a stand for Him. It's not something that we should be coerced or feel guilted in to do it. If we're abiding in the vine, it's a privilege to do that. It's a natural result of wanting to be involved in our Lord's service in any way that it might be. And then there is that fruit of praise. Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. And I think that's a wonderful thing, even in the Lord's Supper, when we're singing those songs. You know, I know sometimes I can be guilty of being familiar with the song and my mind kind of going somewhere else, and I'm still singing the words. But, you know, when we're abiding in Christ, those songs are not just our lips moving. They're coming from our heart. And they are real fruit because of our abiding in Him. It just comes out. We have to sing with joy. We have to sing with gladness and worship for our Lord Jesus Christ. It's real. It's not just going through the motions, is it? It's real. When you're abiding in the vine, it's real. And it is one of those things that He says will be a fruit to give praise to His name. Another one is the fruit of love for one another. in John 13:35, he says, "By this all will know that you are my disciples." And I believe that suggests the idea of fruit. That's going to be an evidence. It's going to be a fruit that we are true disciples when we have love one for another. It's so important. And, you know, there's so many times in assemblies where there are petty differences and divisions over things that just are just so seemingly insignificant. And I think it's a shame because when we are abiding in Christ, our first or one of our top priorities is going to be we want to reflect Christ, and we want to show that love for one another. And that love for one another is an evidence that we are a follower, we are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's so important in the days in which we live. There's too many opportunities. Satan wants to divide. He wants to destroy. And he wants to ruin unity. He wants to do whatever he can to stop believers from giving evidence of the reality of Christ in our lives. And that's what this fruit is. As a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be that love for one another. You know, I often stop to think about what it was outside of Christ. I was not raised in a Christian home. Got saved when I was 14. The Lord changed my life. Praise the Lord. He changed my life. And to think of the contrast of what you and I were outside and before the Lord Jesus Christ and what it means now to be in Christ. In Romans 6:21, he brings that out. It says this. He says, "What fruit did you have?" We're talking about bearing fruit. And he said, "What fruit did you have in those things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." Isn't that something to think about? The fruit that we had outside of Christ was going to just end in death. That's what we had as fruit. Now, in Christ, we are that we can be connected to the Lord Jesus Christ himself and abide in him and actually bear this fruit that brings glory to his name. Brothers and sisters, what a privilege as branches to fulfill this purpose. And so I challenge us to look at our lives, to look at ourselves to see about that bearing of fruit in our lives. And so I want to keep going on here a little bit more. And but abiding in the vine, what if we don't bear fruit? He talks about that in verse 6. He says the impact of fruitlessness is I want to talk about for just a few minutes in verse 6. He says, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out of a branch and is withered. And they gather them, cast them in the fire, and they are burned." So let me ask you, is it possible for a branch that was once fruitful to become unfruitful? And obviously it is. It's very possible. He addresses that right here in this verse. And so the question is what is the value of a branch that is not bearing fruit? This really speaks to my heart. You know, sometimes I've heard people, those who do not believe in thought of eternal security, think that it can become a crutch in which you can just do whatever you want and not worry about the consequences because you know you're eternally secure. And you know, it would be easy for some, perhaps, if a believer is not abiding in the vine, to have that kind of an attitude. But if we're abiding in the vine, that's not going to be our attitude at all. We're going to want to bear fruit for his glory, not because it's something for ourselves, but it'll be for his glory. We're going to want to be a fruitful branch, not an unfruitful branch. And you think about the wood of a branch of a vine, and it's really useless. The only thing that it's really good for is to bear fruit. And if it's not bearing fruit, it really has no purpose. It has no value. You can't use it to build anything. In fact, one commentator said that it is not even much value as far as just burning as firewood. There's not much value in it even in that. And so to bear fruit, to abide in the vine, we want to have that fruitful life, that one that's filled with purpose, because without that, it's like we're useless. There's no real value. And, of course, we've seen in verse number 2, the heart of the vine dresser. I love this. I just love that. The heart of the vine dresser is so clear, because what is his desire? His desire is to make us fruitful. And so in that, where he talks about every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he purges it. And that's the idea we looked at a long time ago. It's the idea of lifting up. That word can be translated. Why does he lift it up? Because it's easy to become earthbound and not bear fruit. And he wants it to be lifted up so it can receive more sunlight and not be earthbound anymore, not be distracted by the things of the world, but to bear fruit for his glory. That's why he does that lifting up. That's the heart of the vine dresser, where he does that. And that's his desire for it. So I think our time is about up. But I'm just so thankful for the Lord Jesus, that we can abide in him. We can draw those resources. Without him, we cannot do anything. We cannot bear fruit. We can't produce the fruit anyway. But we can choose to abide in the vine. And that's my challenge to us this morning, is abide in him. And that's the choice. And really, in closing, that's the difference between us and branches. Branches don't have a will. They don't have a choice. But we do. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we have that choice of whether we're going to abide in the vine. He tells us to do it. It's a command. Abide in me. And so there is that choice of whether we're going to or not. And when we choose to, it's a life of filled with purpose. It's a life filled with joy. It's a life of abiding and being close to our Savior. And there's nothing like it. So thankful that our Father loves us, wants us to be fruitful, not for ourselves, but to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ and to him. And so my challenge to us this morning is to abide in him and to examine ourselves as being fruitful branches. May the Lord help us to do so. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your grace and your patience with us. Lord, we confess that we fall short in so many ways. And Lord, we just thank you that you love us. You give us such a high calling. What a privilege that we can bear fruit to bring glory to your name. Fruit that will make an impact on eternity. And Father, it's amazing because we see that without being in Christ, there's no way we could bear any fruit. But we thank you, Father. Help us. Help us to long to be closer and closer and closer and to remain in close fellowship with our wonderful Savior, the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.